Hello, and thank you for listening to the July 16, 2018 update call for the Flaherty & Crumrine Investment Grade Fixed Income Fund, ticker symbol FFI.UN on the TSX. My name is Michelle Tiarbarelli. I'm Vice President at Brompton Funds, and I'm joined today by Chad Cromwell, Executive Vice President at Flaherty & Crumrine. Before we begin, I'd just like to note that some of the topics we discuss today may contain forward-looking statements. This information by its nature is subject to risks and uncertainties that may cause actual events or results to differ from such forward-looking statements. So, for those of you who may be new to this fund, FFI invests primarily in U.S. investment-grade preferred securities, and the fund itself has an investment-grade rating from Standard & Poor's. FFI is well-established, dates back to 2004, and it's delivered long-term outperformance relative to its benchmarks. The fund is actively managed by Flaherty & Crumrine, an experienced investment advisor founded in 1983 that specializes in preferred securities. We continue to believe that FFI is an attractive investment option for income-focused investors. The fund offers a high level of monthly income, the current distribution rate of 7.1% per annum. And since inception to June 30, 2018, the fund has paid a total of $15.95 per unit in cash distributions to investors. So now let's move on to the update. Chad, can you please begin by commenting on the current economic environment in the U.S.?
Sure. Well, you know, the U.S. economy has continued to expand, albeit it did slow down a little bit in the beginning of this year. The first quarter only had a 2% growth rate, as opposed to the 3% rate we were seeing in the prior 9 months. However, we're expecting that real GDP number to rebound somewhat in the second quarter, along with most people. And we agree with consensus forecasts of solid real GDP growth for the full year of 2018 of about 2.9% and slowing down slightly in 2019 at 2.5%. Of course, we still have some assumptions for the U.S. economy to get there. First, the tax reform that the U.S. saw last year needs to prompt greater business investment and boost labor productivity. Second, higher wages due to a shrinking pool of available workers, we're finally starting to see that in the United States, should support income growth above 4%. Even as job growth starts to slow as the economy reaches full employment. Third, global economic activity, which expanded by quite a bit at 3.8% in 2017, needs to remain near that level in 2018. And finally, we assume that immigration and trade policies do not lead to worker shortages or trade wars that damage U.S. and or global growth. You know, with the first half of 2018 behind us, at least for 2018's predictions, we're pretty confident in the first three views. However, we are considerably less confident on trade and immigration policy. We really can't predict what direction trade negotiations will take or how they're going to impact U.S. or global growth. But with the tariff barriers now expanding in the U.S. and abroad and threats of more to come, economic risks are certainly skewed to the downside. For the U.S., immigration policy also remains similarly unpredictable. We think an optimistic economic outlook overall remains warranted, but risks have certainly increased. That being said, inflation has finally reached the Federal Reserve's target in May. Rising wages, higher home and energy prices, and now tariffs oddly help inflation on imported goods are likely to push inflation higher. However, you know, that's really going to be a gradual process, and we really don't think it's going to change the Fed's current path of gradual tightening of monetary policy, and expect it to continue to hiking in the sort of once a quarter-ish 25 basis point increment.
Okay, thanks, Chad. So what is the impact of rising interest rates on the preferred market, and how is FFI portfolio positioned for this type of environment?
Well, first off, I think it's pretty interesting to talk about the assumption. You know, while the Federal Reserve has raised its benchmark rate as expected twice this year, shareholders may be surprised that 10 and 30-year treasuries have actually declined since mid-May. So they've been, for the last 6 or 7 weeks, they've actually been declining, even though rates are up modestly overall since the start of the year. In other words, we went up a lot at the beginning of the year and fell back down. So whether we really are having rising interest rates, I guess, somewhat remains to be seen. And certainly they are mitigated by these other factors. Despite what has happened, obviously interest rates are a top concern. per your question. And we obviously receive a lot of questions about the performance of preferred securities in that kind of environment. First, a concession. Obviously, like any fixed income security, preferred security prices do normally decline when treasury yields rise. In other words, they have positive duration. However, you know, the fund invests quite a bit in fixed to floating rate structures. And these securities pay a fixed distribution rate for a set period of time and then float at a spread over a benchmark yield. Typically, that set period of time is 5 or 10 years. And that greatly reduces overall portfolio duration compared to a portfolio that's mostly fixed rate securities. Think about it this way. It's a lot like an intermediate term bond portfolio from a duration perspective. And well over half of the portfolio is invested in fixed to float or actually floating rate securities. A dozen years ago, when FFI was still early on, you know, the preferred market was dominated by fixed rate securities, often with really long interest rate durations. And I think some investors still think of preferreds as being highly sensitive to U.S. Treasury yields. Today, with that balance of fixed to float and even floating rate preferreds, there really are a vastly higher number of other shorter duration securities available, and that shows through in the portfolio that we've built. Just as a side note, an actual significant positive contributor this year has been its overweight towards floating rate preferreds. These securities somewhat obviously don't decline in price much to increases in long rates. And in fact, as rates have risen on the short end, have increased in value. And really, those securities have been some of the best performers in the preferred market. You know, while that does obviously have a yield impact somewhat on the pure floating rate, it does provide some price stability. You know, you'd actually expect that yields on fixed to floating rate securities would also be lower than fixed rate securities. But generally, this actually hasn't been the case. Investors continue to receive very attractive yields on preferred securities, even though duration is moderated with these fixed to floating rate. And as a throwaway, we'll talk about it, I think, in a second, issuer credit quality is in excellent shape. These attractive yields play out in total return for preferreds at the end of the day, though, and not just for lower duration fixed to floating rate preferreds. Fixed rates see this benefit as well. And Brompton has a chart that shows the total returns of preferred securities usually beat other fixed income asset classes during periods of rising interest rates and have been doing that for the last 20 years or so. And often, they even deliver a total positive return, even when rates rise 100 basis points or more in a relatively short period. While you at first glance this seems like it can't quite be right, it kind of makes a whole lot of sense if you take a step back, and that's because of the income part of the equation, which I think investors too often lose sight of. And Michelle tried to remind you at the beginning of the call about how much income FFI produces. If you can earn 5 to 7% in income, you can sustain through brief periods when prices are negatively impacted by rising rates. And over the longer term, when those rates stop rising, you will end up with excellent total return. And I think that's the equation that people really need to get through their heads is that we can suffer through modest price decreases, but income is always there and yield always pays off.
Great. Thanks, Chad. So how do credit fundamentals for preferred issuers look right now?
Boy, so this one's getting to be a tired record, I think. I'm sure I'm mixing metaphors. You know, they tend to be good. You know, economic conditions are sort of in a Goldilocks scenario still and have been for a number of years for preferred issuers. Growth is modestly improving with only sort of macro risks flaring their ugly head and financial issuers in particular have been doing very well in that environment. That being said, even though fundamentals look great, and from our perspective, they're as strong as they've ever been, credit spreads have been, on preferred securities and investment-grade corporate bonds, have been widening this year as investors worried about the macro stuff. So maybe there's a scare on economic growth or lack of it. And certainly there's a scare of rising global trade tensions and a renewed swing toward populist economic policies in the United States and abroad. While, you know, we acknowledge those challenges, got to underline credit fundamentals are just great for preferred securities. Bank capital in the U.S., although not directly part of FFI's portfolio, but really also in the rest of the world, is strong and stable. The rest of the world is still improving, in fact. Loan performance is steady to improving overall. Loan loss reserves are sizable, and earnings are rising. Moreover, while not directly related to FFI's portfolio, you know, all U.S. banks recently participate in the Federal Reserve stress testing passed, and that just shows you that even when thrown pretty significant negative scenarios, these institutions look very, very healthy today. You know, I think other industries have been doing great too, and the stronger growth has really helped them. So higher yields have been boosting returns at insurance companies. Increased demand for oil and gas has been benefiting pipeline companies that you know, bring those from the north to the south. And steady hiring and rising incomes have supported everybody in the U.S. And credit generally, from REITs to home builders to manufacturers.
Great. So what other factors are driving preferred security prices?
You know, I have already hit macro a couple times, but political risks very recently have certainly been notable for foreign preferreds in particular. So the instability in Spain and Italy have definitely dinged some of the European names. And increased trade rhetoric and tariff actions, again, have certainly played a hand. Also, there's been some technical factors. Preferred prices this year were negatively affected by new issue supply. While there hasn't been a whole lot of new issue supply, the issuers that did need to come have had to offer yield concessions to entice buyers. In other words, they had to offer a higher yield on their new issues compared to their secondary issues in order to get the deal done. That somewhat obviously has produced downward pressure on secondary prices. That being said, we obviously are somewhat pleased with that. You do have that brief price decline from that effect, but really it's an opportunity. We have continued to see redemptions in the portfolio and throughout the preferred market. And when you have redemptions, you have cash to invest, and it's nice to have higher yields to invest in. Recall, it wasn't that long ago we were writing about preferred securities that were new issue preferred securities that were in the 4% four handle range. But those same issuers today are pricing in the mid to high fives, and yields for some have gotten into the sevens, and that's really a welcome relief for where we've been. Finally, on the way they trade, exchange-listed preferreds really have performed a whole lot better than their unlisted counterparts this year. And this has been a drag on the fund portfolio given its overweight towards unlisted preferreds. Over time, though, we would expect that relationship between unlisted and listed would normalize. And although we could speculate, there really aren't any good reasons why exchange-listed preferreds have done that well this year. But other than to say that, again, that the exchange-listed preferred market really is quite volatile, and current valuations suggest that there isn't much more upside in that market.
Okay, so given all of this, what's your outlook for the preferred securities market?
Going back to what I said initially on the economy, just to remind of that, we are cautiously optimistic on the U.S. economy, and our current rate expectations are basically what market forwards are, maybe a little bit above, but below what the Fed thinks. So the Fed still seems optimistically to think we have a 3.4% federal funds rate by year end 2020. We're not quite there. We do expect that solid economic growth in 2018 and 2019 will moderate in 2020. Really, as this sort of tax effect kind of goes the other way. Federal government spending will slow, and the early stimulus from tax reform will. In addition, rising treasury supply the United States' deficit spending and reduced portfolio reinvestment by the Fed should combine with prior rate hikes to tighten financial conditions without more aggressive monetary tightening. In other words, it will get harder to we will have tighter economic conditions even though the Fed won't be raising rates as much. As a result, we think intermediate treasuries will rise only moderately from current levels, I don't know, 50 basis points or so over the next several years, although they certainly can be volatile, and we've seen that. We don't, though, think credit is a problem. It's worth noting, again, that issuer credit quality is in great shape and should be supportive even in light of higher rates and political uncertainty. We always position the portfolio with an emphasis on credit quality and security-specific structure. That's why we're active managers, and that's what we do, is we worry about downside risk. But we've continued to do that, and we've been able to take advantage, as I mentioned, of higher yields on new issue preferreds. Overall, that means total return we still think is positive. We obviously had slightly negative or modestly negative returns since the beginning of the year, but we see that turning. And for all the reasons I've said, credit fundamentals are strong. The economic growth should support credit spreads. And although we're going to have rising short rates, and we have this big macro problem of trade and political uncertainty, we think most of the adjustment in the long side of the curve has already occurred. The macro environment remains very supportive of preferred securities.
Great. Thanks, Chad. Thanks for providing us with this update. So in closing, if you'd like to learn more about the Flaherty and Crum Rhine Investment Grade Fixed Income Fund, again, FFI.UN on the TSX, you can visit our website at www.bromptonfunds.com or feel free to call us at 416-642-6000 or toll free at 1-866-642-6001. So this concludes our call today. Thank you for listening.